This is the Midweek Horror Podcast with Hannah Fox and Ellis Reed.
Welcome to the Midweek Horror Podcast. I'm Hannah Fox.
And I'm Ellis Reed.
Hello, everyone. We're back again.
Yeah, this is a much shorter gap than we normally have nowadays.
I mean, it would be harder to make a longer gap. But it's all right, you know, we're back and we're doing well.
We haven't
getting back into the swing a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. We haven't worked out what film we're seeing yet, so it's a bit of a shambles.
I said we were back. I didn't say we were good.
So now we just have to decide what film are we watching tonight.
Oh yes, of course. So the choice is between The Manor.
Yeah. So, and that was a film we hadn't heard of.
Yes.
But we found it last time we did a podcast.
That was it, yeah.
And we thought the blurb sounded quite good. Do you want to remind us what the blurb is?
Yeah. So, after suffering a mild stroke, Judith Albright reluctantly moves into a historic nursing home where she becomes convinced a supernatural force is killing the resident.
That sounds brilliant.
I don't even remember that
thing. No.
As I was reading it, I was like, this, I mean, it sounds great.
What score has it got on IMDb?
5.3 out of 10.
That's really good for a horror film.
Okay.
How many reviews?
Well, 153 user, 49 critic.
Ooh.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Should we look up the other one to compare?
Well, the other one we were thinking of was Megan.
There's a film called Megan about a hiker in a mountain lodge, weirdly.
That's
clearly
not
this one.
Different Megan.
Yeah. Let's try again.
Is this one, is it called N3GAN or something?
Is the
E backwards?
I feel like there's something, yeah, that's obviously why they obviously had to change it, so it's not the same as...
But it is confusing because it's not the third sequel, is it?
No, it's the first one, I think.
Yeah.
So this has got 6.4 out of 10.
That's very good for a horror film.
How many reviews... 764 users, 301 critics. So,
if they wanted to put a number in the name, I would have called her Jill, just so people don't think it's a sequel. Mind you, seven never had a problem, did it? Nobody was like, oh, I've not seen the first six.
Yeah. That's true. Not going to bother, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, good point.
I'll see if I can find one on Prime.
Amazing. So, shall I read the storyline, the brief synopsis of this?
Yeah, so, please do.
When Gemma suddenly becomes the caretaker of her orphaned 8-year-old niece, Katie, Gemma's unsure and unprepared to be a parent. Under intense pressure at work, Gemma decides to pair her Megan prototype with Katie in an attempt to resolve both problems. A decision that will have unimaginable consequences.
That's not a great blurb, actually, because if we hadn't seen the trailer, we wouldn't know what the Megan prototype was. That could be anything. That could be like a Hoover.
Toaster. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like they're assuming everyone has seen
the trailer or the advertising. We had. And we know that Megan is an eerie animatronic robot friend that kind of looks realistic enough to be right in the canny valley. No, it's the uncanny valley. Megan is a robot friend that's realistic enough to be right in the uncanny valley.
Yes.
Where it just creeps you out because it's obviously, you know, it's really good, but it's obviously not real.
Yeah. Interestingly, you know, you're saying just to, you know, make things a bit more complicated. Where you were saying about it being the third, it says here, one of the top review, hands down the better reboot of Child's Play.
Oh,
just
God.
To be confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think...
Like, everyone's going to be like, how... That...
I don't really...
Get your shit together,
Phil. Oh, guys, they're being so confusing. I actually don't think it is. I think they're just comparing to that. Yeah. So, we got two, I think, great choices.
Yeah.
What are we going to go with?
I almost think we should flip a coin.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
But does anyone still have coins nowadays?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, yep. Hang on. I've got a pound over here. Oh, that's not very flippable. What? There's a 10p under it.
Oh, that'll do.
Right, which should be which?
Head's Megan, because she's got a head.
Yeah.
Tails, the manor.
Yeah, no reason needed.
No reason needed.
By a process of elimination.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, head's Megan, tails, the manor. Oh, fuck. Heads, it's Megan.
Nice.
Let's watch the trailer.
Yeah.
And then get back after the jingle with our initial thoughts.
Great.
Ooh, I wasn't expecting it to be funny.
It looks really funny.
Yeah. There were numerous surprises there. So I just took it for granted that Megan would turn against the girl she was meant to be looking after. But actually, it was more like she was overzealous in trying to protect the girl.
Yeah.
Like going around killing people who, like, there was that boy who was bullying her.
And she chases him through the woods in front of the car.
Yeah. And at that point in the trailer, I was watching it thinking, oh, I'm not sure, this seems like it might be a bit cheesy.
Mm.
But then it sort of really leaned into the cheese.
I feel like they're not afraid to make it a bit cheesy, because that's like part of it. And it did look quite funny. Like, we both laughed out loud a couple of times.
Yeah. So Megan does a funny little dance, doesn't she?
To the sky. Like, well, I thought it was maybe like a bit of a sexy dance, but then it was just a bit of a funny dance.
A
very unusual dance. And I think, it's kind of a bit more original than some of the stuff we've seen. Because I know you see a lot of like doll kind of horrors, but this is a bit different in that she's AI, she's been programmed to look after this girl.
It's not like the doll's been possessed by a ghost.
Exactly. It's more like scientific, I guess. But it's obviously the programming's very good and she's becoming more and more lifelike, but still with this thing in her head that she's got to protect this girl and she'll do that at any cost. That was kind of what I got from it.
And also, you know, going about her evil robot doll business with a little bit of, you know, dropping some zingers.
Sass.
Yeah, sass. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all.
It definitely looked more fun than I was expecting. I was just expecting very creepy and like maybe a sort of like, you know, they do like the piano-y sort of music in the background, but it wasn't. It was like some kind of like funky pop song, wasn't it?
What was that song actually?
I've never heard it actually.
I don't know how they're going to work that dance into the film, you know, because presumably in the film, because she's just like encountered somebody in a corridor and you're expecting her to kill him and then she just does a funny little dance instead. But will there be music in that scene?
Oh, good point.
Because like obviously there was music playing because it was the trailer, but I can't see why in universe.
That's true. I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah. Maybe she'll just do a sort of spooky, silent disco thing. she'll have to do her own music.
Her own tune. Well, maybe she can. Like, she is AI.
Do you remember that scene where David Brent does a dance?
What a dance.
He's just it's funny because they showed that scene in the trailer, but I've got no idea what to expect from that scene.
No.
In the film.
It looks quite fast-paced, but that was, you know, like, there's a lot going on.
I think it might be this kind of film where you end up cheering for Megan.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily because she's doing anything laudable, but simply because it seems like she's going to be one of those horror characters.
She's a character. Yeah.
And maybe the people she kills. It'd be interesting to see, does she go after people? You know, the sort of characters in horror films where you want them to come to a sticky end.
Yeah.
Because they're not very nice. Yeah, I don't have a clue really. But it looks like a lot of fun. It looks quite funny, which I wasn't expecting.
What are you thinking stars-wise?
I think it'll be a solid 4 then.
I agree. I was going for 4, yeah.
Yeah.
And then if it's any more, great.
So we only ended up watching Megan on the toss of a coin.
Mm.
So are you happy, based on that trailer, are you happy with our choice?
I'm happy. Let's go for it. It looks like a lot of fun and I'm intrigued to see how it ends as well.
Excellent. Right, well, all that remains for us to do now, play the jingle, watch the film, and then come back with our spoiler-filled review of Megan.
Great. See you on the other side.
We're back. We've just watched Megan.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it.
So did I. I thought it was great fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think it fully lived up to the promise of the trailer.
Yeah.
Of being a kind of self-aware, silly, but fun and at times exciting, at times funny.
Yes.
Film about an increasingly murderous robot doll with artificial intelligence.
I thought it was a lot of fun. And I think it really embraced the silly and embraced the sort of cheesiness. Whilst also actually still being, like, it was still really well done. Like, yeah, the script was strong. It was just really well produced. It looked really good.
It was extremely timely.
Yeah.
Now, it takes a long time to make a film. So I'm wondering, were they working on that before ChatGPT came out?
That's true. That's a good point. It might have just been lucky.
Yeah, yeah. But incredibly sort of zeitgeisty.
Yeah.
You know, because they basically, you know, at one point when Megan is taunting a creator, as she says, you know, you didn't give me anything. You gave me some learning module that you didn't even understand yourself and just hoped I'd work it out, work it out myself. And I guess a lot of people would say that that's what we're doing with things like the latest generation of artificial intelligences, which are so good and so clever, they're almost scary.
They're so good and so clever, and we don't really understand them, and our brains don't process knowledge in that same way that quickly.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I mean, it's a very timely, like you say. And I think interesting because when you watch one of these films like Chucky or Annabelle or anything like that about, you know, a possessed toy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun and it's great and I love those movies. But this is like, I was watching it and thinking, okay, this is over the top and stuff, but it's the most sort of, I mean, this is the sort of thing that, in a weird way, to a degree, could happen. You feel like it's more in the art of the possible these days.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I found that quite interesting because you're kind of going, yeah, okay, it's over the top. And, you know, why would a machine go murderous necessarily? But the thought of a machine going out of control in that way, I think is certainly in the realms of possibilities now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's funny because ever since Isaac Asimov was writing his sci-fi, you know, like iRobot and stuff, there's been that question of, well, if we give robots some basic principles and then give them the intelligence to work out, you know, if you had like a robot that was intelligent enough, you could just give it the desired outcome. Let it work out how to deliver it. You know, like what would happen if it decided like the best thing to do would be to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And it's funny that was part of fiction for a long time, but it's never really been within the technologically plausible to have, you know, we've always had to tell technology, you know, if you want a robot to build something on a factory line, you have to tell it every little movement it's got to do. But now we are finally getting to the point where it is plausible that you could give a piece of technology like this is your desired outcome. And in the case of Megan, it's your prime function is to protect this girl from physical and emotional harm. The idea that you could give an AI the desired outcome and let it work out how to do it. And obviously it can make some terrible mistakes. You know, it can be like the genie where you get what you wished for rather than what you wanted. Because you weren't careful enough about how you phrased it.
Totally.
But we're finally entering the sort of period of human technology where that does feel, you know, it wouldn't happen tomorrow, but it might happen in a couple of years.
And I think as well, like, we can give it the intelligence now, but we can never really, never say never, but you can't really give it emotions. So, of course, what I was thinking about was, for instance, we understand when someone says something, we have emotional intelligence and we understand that might not be, you know, the best thing, we care about people. So, for example, if someone says they don't want to live anymore and they're going to jump off a bridge, we wouldn't go, oh, well, if that's your decision, off you go then. You know, we'd try and maybe like say, you know, you're worthwhile and all these things. But a robot would potentially just go, that's what they want. You know, without take out the emotions and all that side.
So Megan in that situation, the robot from this film, would take you to the bridge.
Yes.
And then if you were like, oh no, it was just hyperbole.
Yeah.
She would be like, no, you wanted this. I'll help you. And she'd be throwing you off the bridge.
Yeah. So there's that kind of, I think that plays into it as well. If that film really made me think about, even though it's a silly film, like, well, yeah, you give robots intelligence, but you cannot really give them human emotions. And that's something that goes with that to make a human. So what are you unleashing without the emotions? Yeah. Interesting. I mean, on the other side, you could argue, well, you wouldn't unleash anger and rage either. So maybe you just have a balanced thing that, but you could see the issues, couldn't you?
Yeah, 100%.
It's interesting. So
we've gone way, way off on a philosophical tangent. Should we talk about the plot?
Yeah, good show.
But I guess that shows how much we enjoyed the film, that we were sort of buzzing enough to want to talk about. Oh, what stars would you give it?
I actually think 5.
Ah.
I really liked it. Yeah. Because, I mean, I was thinking, oh, is that too high? And then I was thinking, well, no, because I liked everything about it. It seemed to whoosh by. Because it was a really fun, entertaining, but solid film. So, yeah, actually, better than I thought, I think.
Oh, brother. Mm. Well, I'm really glad we watched it.
How about you?
I think I'm going to stick with 4.
Yeah.
But it's a warm 4. Mm. You know, if we did quarter points, it'd probably be 4.25.
I know what you mean. Like a little bit above. Yeah. But no, I loved it. Really, really good film, I thought.
Yeah, excellent.
Sorry, the plot.
Well, I feel after your 5, I sort of damned it with faint praise a bit there. I think... Okay, let's talk about the plot and then I'll talk about why it's missing the last star.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Ooh, the plot. So at the beginning, there's a really... Oh, well, first of all, we see the advert, don't we? For the perpetual pets. So this is a toy that's basically, let's call a spade. It's a Furby.
Yeah.
Furby. But in the universe of Megan, they're called perpetual pets. I think it's like a cat, petrol pets. Yeah. And they're these little annoying, wisecracky things. And they're a bit more advanced than Furbies now because you've got like your app on your smartphone and you can feed them. When you feed them, they do a shit or whatever. The advert at the beginning, actually the satire of the toy industry, we were laughing at a lot. So it starts with the advert.
It's like, oh, mommy, the dog died. And the dog's, like, buried in the garden.
Yeah, and then they're like, well, good news. Now here's a pet that'll live longer than you. But also at the start of the film, we see a young girl who's playing with a perpetual pet in the car. And her parents are sort of bickering because they're lost in the snow and they're skidding a bit because they don't have any chains. And
stupid, like, outing. Like... Why were they so unprepared? They're literally in a snowstorm and they're like, we've got no chains. We thought this car was a 4x4. And guys, maybe a bit of prep.
I thought some of that dialogue was really quite well written if they were going for funny.
Yeah.
Because she says to him, oh, we should have put chains on. And he says to her, until 10 minutes ago, neither of us knew that was a thing. So stop acting like it's my fault. And, yeah, what are chains? We don't have them in this country,
do
we?
They have them in Canada a lot, I think. Probably in America.
Countries that can cope with snow. They're always going on about chains.
I think it's in the winter they put them on their tyres and it's like an extra layer so that they skid less. I think it's some sort of chain. So it's thick and heavy and it kind of gives you a bit more traction.
I can't even picture it.
No, I can't.
I don't know how you'd put chains on a tyre and then still be able to drive it.
It's not like a chain, like you chain someone up with. It's a little bit different to that, but yeah, it just adds an extra sort of layer to the tyre,
But basically, because they're in a blizzard or something, and they kept skidding. There's snow everywhere, and they decide we're just going to have to stop. It's too dangerous. And while they're arguing about what to do next, a truck hits them head on. The parents die. The child survives. She is then adopted by her aunt.
Yeah.
Who works at the company that makes perpetual pets.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a very natural parent, I would say.
No, it kind of, she's single, lives alone, and I think has done for a while. And she likes things the way, she's very into her work. She likes things a certain way. Like, she has all these collectible toys which she's kept in the boxes, and she's quite like particular.
Yeah.
Just wasn't ready to have a child, I would say. Yeah.
Now she works at the company that makes perpetual pets. I think they're called Funky.
Yeah.
And she is secretly, much to the annoyance of her boss, working on the Megan prototype. Mm. Now, her boss believes that what they really need is a cheaper version of the perpetual pet. So a simpler version of the toy, he says, just give me a prototype of something I can get on the shelf for $50. She's working on this, like, humanoid robot that's going to retail for $10,000 if it ever gets to market. And he doesn't think there's any future in it. What's the main character called? Gemma.
Gemma.
Now, Gemma is doing such a bad job of looking after a niece that at one point they sort of bond when she shows her a robot called Bruce that she made when she was at college, and she sort of has a bit of a eureka moment. She decides that to help develop the Megan prototype, she will introduce her niece to it, and her niece basically absolutely loves this prototype. And her boss sees her niece interacting with the prototype and is so blown away by how good Megan is, he does a complete 180. Yeah. And he's like, oh, we've got to put this before the board. It'll be amazing. So that's the setup. So you now have this household where Gemma is there with her niece and Megan, who's almost like her best friend, acting like a sister, but she's a robot. What's the niece called?
Katie. Yeah.
Katie absolutely loves Megan. The boss is queuing everything up for a big live stream. They're going to do an international launch of this product. And Gemma makes the mistake, like we alluded to before, of saying to Megan, your main job is to protect Katie from physical and emotional harm. And, Megan is increasingly zealous in how she discharges that function.
Yeah, because it starts off with things start to take a turn. The neighbor's dog bites Katie when she's trying to retrieve one of her sort of toys from the neighbor's yard, and the neighbor's dog bites her, and the police and the neighbor won't do anything about this. And then the next thing we see is Megan calling the dog in the voice of the neighbour.
Yes, this is the first time we see the sort of...
like the turn.
Yeah. And also the fact that she can mimic...
oh, mimic sounds. Voices.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the second time, because the first time is when she meets Katie for the first time. She records something that Katie says and plays it back to her.
Yeah.
So we know... Yeah. And she's basically acting under her own initiative. Yeah. She's made a recording of the neighbour calling her dog.
Yeah.
And she uses that to lure the dog.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was a recording or if she can actually just mimic, because I don't know. Sometimes she had said different things that people didn't say. So I guess it's learning if you have the voice. Like, she probably records the voice, then adapts it and learns.
Yeah, that is a point. Not everything she says in somebody else's voice is something she will have heard them say. She uses that skill more than once. It's a bit like, is it in Terminator 2?
Was it Terminator 2?
Or Predator. What am I thinking of? I'm going to edit that out because I don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
It reminded me of something. They have used it
in films before, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so obviously then we kind of assume the dog has been killed or something's happened to the dog, because then the dog disappears. And then this sort of escalates even more when... Katie is taken to like a forestry school, because I think she was formerly homeschooled, and they're trying to find something in the middle, a good way for her to learn. And she wants to take Megan along with her, which I don't think the aunt's very keen on, but they eventually kind of relent and, Megan's allowed to go on the toy table. But then while she's at this forestry school, there's a young boy who's sort of bullying Katie and not being very nice to her.
Yeah.
And then Megan turns up, and doesn't really do a lot to start with. But then the boy steals Megan, and then Megan kind of unleashes hell.
She rips his ear off.
Rips his ear off, which is gross, which is a really gross
A really nice latexy special effect.
Yeah. And then basically chases him so much that he rolls in front of a car, and that's the end of him.
Yeah. So that is her first murder of a human.
Yeah. Although she doesn't really murder him, you could say, because actually she only chases him. She hurts
That's
someone.
True, yeah.
Yeah, it's because he runs and falls in front of the car, but she does rip his ears off, so it's, you know, it's not great. It's not ideal.
Yeah, yeah. It's also where we see, this is where we begin to see that Megan will be economical with the truth to suit her own ends, because Katie, well, I can't remember that name. Katie says to her later that night, she says something like, did you
hurt her?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she's just like, I think we both learned a lesson today, Katie. And like, she just sort of sidesteps the question.
And there's another bit where they ask her something like, was that how it was or something? And she goes, in a nutshell. Like, sort of just like, yeah, like you say, being very economical with the truth.
Yeah.
So it's after that point, it's kind of a lot of the sort of, they're trying to obviously sell this product and it's all working up to the big launch. And then she's increasingly becoming more murderous and kind of her mission is very much just to protect Katie, protect the family. And it's kind of, rising and rising.
So the neighbour accuses Gemma of doing something to a dog.
Yeah.
Because the dog's gone missing and Gemma didn't like the dog. So Megan kills the neighbour. Gemma then begins to suspect, because there's been two murders when Megan was around, or two mysterious deaths.
And the dog.
The boy in the outdoor club thingy. Yeah, the dog, and also then her neighbour. And she asks Megan if she hurt somebody.
Mm.
And Megan, again, is sort of like a bit vague. And so Gemma gets together with the rest of her team who designed Megan, and they're increasingly uncomfortable with the fact that they're about to launch this product, you know, with a big live stream, a sort of Steve Jobs style product introduction, when they think it might be murdering people. However, Megan isn't keen to be shut down, so she escapes and goes on a bit of a rampage, kills some more people.
Tries to kill the team that created her.
Yeah.
She tries to hang the one guy, but his friend manages to cut him down, his partner.
So also, this is the part of the film where we start to realise that Megan is gifted with very sort of script convenient powers.
Yes.
Where it's sort of not really, this is the film not taking itself too seriously. It's not clear why she would have the ability to, for instance, walk past a siren that's sounding an alarm and just change it to, everything's okay. Or why she would be able to walk up to a car that she needs to get in and just turn the alarm off and unlock it so she can get in and drive off.
Well, I was thinking that actually made sense to me, because a lot of those cars are now all completely hooked up to the internet. So depending on where she's learning from, what skills she's learning, if she has access to a lot of information on the internet, she may be able to understand how to unlock that car and take control of that car and start that car, because it's those those modern cars, like those fancy modern cars, a lot of them are completely controlled by that. They don't even have keys anymore, a lot of them. So it's like, potentially she could do that. That to me seemed actually quite possible, because people are hacking those things already.
It is sort of, we do sort of see how Megan isn't just getting input from people talking to her. She's also running off and checking things on the internet.
Yeah, I think she's all across the internet.
Yeah, she can like do an Alexa and just fact find things instantly. So yeah, maybe that is how it works. And she's sort of gone a bit lawnmower man.
Yeah.
Where she's just hoovered up all this knowledge and it's made her a little bit superhuman.
Yeah, definitely.
Like anything that's wireless she can interact with.
And she intercepts the phone calls as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, she's got a lot of skills.
It's implied right at the end, when she's been ripped in half and killed, that she actually jumped across and she's now taken up residence in the, it's not called Alexa, but the house is what?
Elsie,
that's it, yeah.
You know, that was a good little bit at the end, actually, because you don't know. They just zoom in on Elsie and you don't know, it might be just Elsie, or it might have been that she's taken her over. Left open.
So again, she might have gone full lawnmower man and sort of transcended her initial robot body.
Yeah.
you know, gone online. She's now like haunting the internet. Maybe she can come back in a sequel if she finds another receptacle, another robot.
And I think then, so then we've got to a point where she's pretty much happy to kill anybody. She's killed, she kills Gemma's boss and his kind of like PA with a machete quite brutally.
Yeah, where did she get that machete from? I can't remember now.
Oh, it was just like, I don't know, actually. Just kind of lying around.
Yeah, it's the sort of film, though, where you don't care that you don't know where she got the machete from.
Just kind of picked it up and off she went. Yeah.
It was a cool scene. She had a machete. She did a little dance.
Yeah. And then it seems like the only only people that she's happy, that she doesn't want to kill, is Gemma and Cady.
Yeah.
But then she kind of has a bit of a... her and Gemma have a bit of a showdown. Yeah. At the end, where she suddenly realises that Gemma is going to shut her down and destroy her. So it's kind of every man for themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So she, what her sort of plan is to make Gemma, she sort of say like paraplegic or something, and or like in a coma or something. Basically, so she can look after her and Cady, and she's in charge. Yeah. And so that, that's when they sort of have this showdown. And I really like the bit when Cady comes in and then kind of like takes control of Bruce.
The robot. From college. Gemma.
Yeah. And then
built in college.
Fights Megan as the robot.
Rips her in half.
Rips her in half, yeah. Checks her up and down.
Megan's looking pretty battered by this point. Half her hair's gone. Her face is, you know, it's a little bit Terminator 2.
Big chunky. You're starting to see the robot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's all quite chaotic, but they finally managed to kill her.
Yeah, and then we're kind of left with the police and the team come to see if they're okay, and, you know, anyone who's left alive is there.
Everyone's smiling as if they're not all going to jail.
Like, oh, phew, it's all right. Yeah. And then we're left with the Elsie bit at the end, where it's is Megan really gone?
Just a lingering shot of the Alexa-style thing that sort of wakes up with a light and looks around.
Yeah.
And it's just implied that the consciousness of Megan is now in Elsie. I think that was quite a chaotic plot summary, but I think we covered
yeah. it. I mean, it's quite fast-paced film, so...
Actually, it is once it gets going, but one thing I liked about it was it did take the time at the beginning.
It did, like,
it's actually
scene.
Yeah, it's quite... Yeah. It's a little bit of time getting to know the characters before Megan...
That's true.
...is introduced to the family.
That's true, actually, yeah. They did take the time with the plot and to... Yeah, set the scene.
Yeah.
Which is good, because sometimes they do jump in a bit too fast with these things. But, yeah, I mean, you know, this isn't new in this sort of kind of, you know, possessed robot or doll sort of scenario. But I did think it was a really kind of good way of doing it. And maybe as well, just very timely, like we were sort of saying, because I do think you sort of think a bit more now, oh, yeah, that's not beyond the norms. Yeah.
It's funny that it was such a goofy, silly film when actually they could have done this film and played it very straight.
They could.
If they'd wanted to.
Yeah, if they wanted to, yeah.
And people would have been like, sort of like, wow, yeah, is this the world we're creating?
Mm.
But instead they went in a goofy, over-the-top, having some fun with it.
Yeah.
Creating a real character for the villain.
Yeah.
I think a character like Megan deserves, you know, this is the horror genre. I think Megan deserves... another two major releases, then a series of increasingly minor releases, all the way up to Megan 8, which is just bollocks. Like Leprechaun, Hellraiser.
Yeah, that's true. She could the character's very strong. It would definitely be a good character to... they could definitely do a few spin-offs, a few different films with this. So, yeah, so I thoroughly enjoyed it. I didn't really have a hell of a lot to say negatively, to be honest. I just think it wasn't trying to be too serious. It was fun, but it was still incredibly well written and put together. Which sometimes when they try and make these things fun, they forget about actually doing a decent script and having decent actors and production, which that didn't happen with this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, so I was happy with that. Which, what would you say didn't make it a 5 for you, or a 4.5, should I say?
Well, first of all, it reminded me a bit of Benny Loves You.
Yeah, that's
even though they're also very different in other ways, and I did prefer Benny Loves You, which is an independent,
really good
British horror film. But yeah, if you've not seen it, go and see it. We loved it.
Really, really well.
It's even more comedy than this.
Yes.
It's like super comedy, sitcom-esque at times. But it's got some of the same energy as this. Mm. But what I think was missing, I think because of the style of the film, I think when Megan is being murderous, I thought they could have almost really leaned into it with some really ridiculous, like, cartoonish slapstick antics. And I thought we were going to get that. Like, the first, when we see her with, what's that bully kid called? And she rips off his ear. And he's got this comedy latexy ear that's really stretching before she pulls it off. I thought maybe they were going to go more in that direction and, you know, almost have it a bit like sort of itchy and scratchy style. And I feel like actually some of the scenes where she's going on the rampage were a bit tamer than I was expecting.
Okay.
I thought they could have been funnier and more over the top.
Mm.
I thought the last fight, you know, where KD's controlling the giant robot and like ripping Megan in half, and Megan's torso is like crawling around.
Yeah.
And shouting, "You ungrateful bitch!" I think I thought more of the film would be like that, you know, really OTT.
Right, yeah.
Really cartoonish. Yeah, I think that could have given it an extra star. more ears getting ripped off, dolls getting ripped in half.
More props.
yeah, more latex.
Yeah.
I don't know, that seems like a really sort of boneheaded criticism.
Not really, I can see what you mean, a bit more glam. Because it was heading that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they could have just turned the OTT wackiness up a bit further.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely room for that. That wouldn't have taken anything away from it, even, you know, I think that, like, I agree with you. I think that would have only enhanced it. It didn't really make any difference to me, but I think, yeah, that would have enhanced it.
I guess if you think of the fates of the children in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you know, like somebody gets blown up to a big thing, somebody gets stretched. You know, if they'd gone like really silly in how they how she dispatched people.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I definitely know what you mean.
A bit of that sort of energy rather than, she's going to kill somebody with a machete.
Yeah.
I think the film raises like really genuinely interesting questions about our relationship with toys and screens and gadgets and
the online world, yeah.
Yeah, and whether it's healthy.
I absolutely agree with you. And there was a bit where Gemma is trying to occupy Katie and she says, "Look on something on my iPad." And Katie says to her, "Well, when do I need to turn it off?
Yeah, like, what about screen time?
And Gemma's like, "Oh no, take as long as you want." And I do think actually the film was kind of trying to get you to think about that. Like, this isn't just about some AI doll. It is about our relationship with, like, say, the online world, devices, you know, future tech, immersive tech, all this stuff. So I do think there's a little bit of that going on as well. That kind of slightly, not in a heavy way, but, you know, this is something society probably needs to think about a little bit more than we do. Because everything's online. Like, your whole life, really, these days is online. So if someone's able to get into that and get a picture of that, and if you think, what can do that? AI.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, if someone's got every piece of your life that's online and puts that together and can use that, that is scary.
There's a really interesting bit early on where Gemma is explaining that they've basically been using the perpetual pets to like learn about the conversations people are having to train their model for Megan. And the CEO of the company just says, "Okay, you did not just tell me that."
Yeah.
And it's sort of, you know, they move past it quite quickly. But yeah, there's a big question there about the creepiness of these talking toys that are just there. Kids are talking to them and they're listening to the kids and learning from the conversations they're having, and it's all getting fed into an AI model. Again, that's very timely.
Yeah, very much so. And the fact that Megan is able to be able to operate so easily because everything is connected. Really interesting, actually. I didn't think about that so much at the time, but as we've kind of talked about it, definitely there was a fair bit of that.
Yeah, it's a very thematically rich and interesting film, so I do feel a bit stupid saying I'm giving it 4 stars rather than 5. Because I wanted...
it doesn't quite hit the mark, you know.
I wanted a bit more Charlie and the Chocolate Factory energy in how people were getting dispatched.
You know? But, you know, you like what you like.
Yeah, really good though.
I definitely recommend it.
Do you know what? I'm going to give it 4.5.
Fair.
I still feel like it's not quite a 5
for
me. Fine,
yeah.
You know, you've got to leave room at the top for the films you really love.
Fair enough, yeah.
But I did enjoy that a lot.
I mean, also, like, my grading system has just gone all over the shop from when we first started.
Yeah, God, me too. Do you know what? I bet if they were working on that film before ChatGPT came out, I bet everyone who's working on that film was like WhatsApping each other like, guys, this is amazing. our film is so zeitgeisty.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, like, it's not doing anything new. I think it's just that it's done it in a good way, like you said, and it's timely. And that does help. Because if you think about shows like Black Mirror, I mean, they've done very similar things, really. It's just that this is done in a particularly good way. You know, in a film, fun, and, you know, quite a big film.
Yeah, and it's done with sort of energy and good humour.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Yeah, I will give it 4.5 stars. So between us, we're giving it 4.75.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty good. We see what it had on the Tomatometer?
Rotten Tomatoes, yeah. Well, what are you guessing first?
Oh, yeah, okay, good point. They're always a bit like, people always have issues with these things. 78.
I was going to say 72.
Okay.
I think it will be critically underrated.
Mm.
I think the user score will be higher than the critic score. I think there's going to be a percentage of critics who are like, oh, well, ever since Mary Shelley...
Yeah, you're
right. Wrote the modern Prometheus.
So true.
Which you ignoramai might know as Frankenstein. Oh, is ignoramai the plural of ignoramus? No, I'm gonna do that again.
Oh, I reckon probably.
I'm gonna edit it out.
No, don't edit it out, it's great. Oh, okay.
Which you ignoramuses might know as Frankenstein. I'll see which I like best.
I liked ignoramai. So,
hang on, drum roll please.
Drum roll please. Do you want the audience score or the Tomatometer first? Oh shit, yeah, we've got a drum roll.
Yeah, we've got a sound effect, Anne. But thank you for gamely slapping your leg.
I'm sure it's exactly the same.
Drum roll, please.
That's Tomatometer.
Oh, we really underestimated.
I know,
the
but you know, people are quite harsh sometimes. So I thought, oh, they probably will be. Audience score 78.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
What's
fair play?
Does it say the critics' consensus? Does it have a little blurb that sums up what people liked about it?
Let's have a look. Unapologetically silly and all the more entertaining for it. Megan is the rare horror comedy that delivers chuckles as effortlessly as chills.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. I mean, I think they could have said timely. Yeah. I feel like we really majored on that in
our
review.
I think we really did, yeah. We were really hitting home about that.
They should have put that in the critics' consensus.
Yeah. Let's look at some splats and toms.
I guess it'd be really interesting if more than 90% of critics liked it. Yeah, what were the splats?
Oh, yeah. Well, should we have a couple of toms and then we'll find a splat?
Why are we calling them splats? We call them splodges on this podcast. Yeah. It's like a long time since we've consulted the tomatometer.
You're right. It has been a while. God, I forgot about the drum roll. We're calling them splats. God.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Matt Brunson from Film Frenzy says, needless subplots and superfluous characters tend to distract, but when the malevolent AI is front and centre, this movie really hums.
Is that a splodge?
No, that was a tomato.
Oh, wow. That was damning with faint praise.
It was a bit, wasn't it? Yeah, Let's go to Sean Chandler from Sean Chandler Talks About. A surprisingly effective and clever killer doll film, Megan instantly leaves her mark and solidifies herself as a new horror icon. But the real surprises are the extra layers and ideas about technology, grief, and taking the easy way out.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah. Totally agree with that.
That's fine with that. Paul Mount from Starburst says, whilst Megan is a bit too broad to serve as Black Mirror-style cautionary tale, its strength lies in the fact that Megan is a machine created by humanity rather than animated by some supernatural entity or other. Which, again, we sort of touched on, didn't we?
True that.
Some splodges. Philippe Freitas from Always Good Movies says, cinematically, Megan remains soft at the core, contaminated by harmful robotization while following the codes of Hollywood's easy scares.
That's a splodge, is it?
Yeah. I mean, just being a bit of a bore there, I think, Philippe, to be honest. Christy Strauss from Wonderfully Weird and Horrifying says, Megan is definitely fun, but it succumbs to tropes and familiarity in a way that makes it feel reductive. Wrong.
It's definitely fun. End of review.
Yeah.
That's all you need to say.
I mean, and even this splodge isn't... Some of them aren't actually really that splodge-worthy.
Do you know, if it's definitely fun, the lowest you can go is 3 stars. Even if you think...
I agree.
There's other stuff you could do better.
Because you don't want everything to be some sort of serious epic anyway.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, all in all, it's pretty loved.
User reviews. Who doesn't like it on the user reviews?
Good.
These will be a little bit less...
They're always quite amusing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. The gloves will be off in the user reviews.
Sorry, it's been difficult. Ah, it's just user error. Okay, so we're looking for a splodgy user. Found a 3-star from Will D. It wasn't bad, but it didn't make me jump, even once. I left disliking the characters and wanting the villain to win. Why? They were nice. I like the main characters.
I didn't jump once either. I will say this, it wasn't scary.
No, it wasn't scary.
No, it wasn't any more scary than like Jurassic Park or something. You know, there were moments of tension like there are in any.
No, it wasn't scary.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fun horror, though. Horror doesn't have to be scary, I don't think, in that way, necessarily.
Yeah, yeah.
So, one star from Brian S.
Can't wait for this.
Oh, no, actually.
Oh, you're not going to read it?
Film horrible.
What, sorry?
Film horrible, por favor. So maybe let's move on. Because I can't read Spanish, apparently.
Oh.
Right, yeah, come on, there must have been...
There must be a 1-star review that's in English.
I know, come on. There's got to be. There's loads of blooming reviews. I suppose not many people have left comments, necessarily.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, most people are, like, on the 3 or 4. I mean...
We might have to put that Spanish one in Google Translate.
We might have to. Well, there's one from Shelley that's a 3-star. Mary Shelley. She's still doing the rounds.
Oh, yeah.
This is a one-time watch kind of movie. It is well produced and the movie overall is okay. I just don't believe that this has the potential to be anyone's new favourite horror film. Okay, but no one asked it. No one needs it to be.
I just can't imagine ever having such mild feelings about a film.
I know.
And wanting to post a review on IMDb. Wow.
I'm trying to translate.
I kind of feel I would only post a review on IMDb if it was 5 stars or 1 star.
Yeah, like you either loved it or really hated it. I absolutely agree. I mean, that's all I ever do on TripAdvisor as well. You know, it's like nothing in between. Right, let's find Google Translate. Sorry.
Are we actually doing it?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Other translation tools are available. Right. Oh, horrible movie. Please do not watch. Seriously.
Well, I'm glad we translated that. Thanks for the keen insights. Yeah, what's his name?
Brian S.
Brian S?
Not like Lioness, like...
Is Brian a Spanish name?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Weird. Maybe you just fancy writing a Spanish review. Well, so there we have it, anyway. I think that's probably the... Your lot, review-wise. But I think they did incredibly well on the Tomatometer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen some films which I thought were pretty decent, you know, absolutely killed on there. So, yeah. Good film.
So what was it, 92?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, well done, Rotten Tomatoes.
Well done, Rotten Toms. And well done, director of...
Megan.
Thank you. Just the film we've been talking about all evening.
Well, you've been listening to the Midweek Horror Podcast.
I'm sorry, I thought we'd finished.
No, well, yeah, we can. We'll just sort of, you know, we'll cut to you saying thanks, guys. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get scared.
Don't get scared now.
It is funny, that little bit at the end. You absolutely nailed that, the first podcast we ever did.
Yeah.
And I've been editing it onto the end of every episode we've done since.
I know, it just kind of worked, didn't it?
Yeah, but... yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Tune in next time for more
Midweek Horror.
Don't get scared now.